Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your style and colour questions today. So let's see what we have. Anna's asked, when putting colours together, if light colours work better with other light colours and dark colours work better with other dark colours, what do you do when you have high value contrast? So, when we are mixing colours, and I've just grabbed a swatch here because I knew we'd have a colour question and I thought it might make it easier if you could see what I was doing. If I am going to mix colours together, so if you think about interior decorating, if I've got a pastel room, all the colours are pastels. If I've got a bright coloured room, all the colours are bright. And that is because these colours mix more easily together because they have their value in common. So value just means how light or dark the colour is. So for example, if I am here and I want to mix, you know, kind of this light pink or this really light pink, I'm going to find the other kind of icy ones too. And they'll mix really easily together. So you can see that they mix really easily together. But that doesn't provide any value contrast. And it's completely fine if you're a low value contrast. But if you're a high value contrast, what do you do? Well, then what I find is easiest is to use your neutral to create the value contrast. So if I go around to some neutrals, I can create a low value contrast with that white or with a light grey, very low value contrast. I can create a medium value contrast by going to a more medium grey, and then I can create a high value contrast by picking a darker neutral. So that is all you have to do. Whatever is the value of your colour, if you are mixing colours together, mix colours, it's easier. Now you can mix colours that have different values together, but it's just so much easier to mix ones with similar values together. They just, you know, work beautifully together. And this is why we often like watercolour paintings, is because the colours often have a similar feeling to each other. So for example, if I, you know, take a bright colour, it's going to work much more easily with another bright colour than if I put it back with a light colour. It just doesn't have the same feeling. They have an unrelated property. So when I pop these two together, they work really well. And then I can, you know, I mean, I could use navy as my neutral. Just got to find the navy in the swatch here. So here I've got, you know, I could pop in navy to create some value contrast, or I could go and choose, you know, white to create some value contrast. So depending on how I wanted to put the colours together, really I'm just using my colours of similar value together and then changing the value contrast with my neutrals. That is the easiest way to do. Now, of course, if you don't want to have, like, you know, one of the black grey sort of neutrals or a brown neutral, say you want navy to be your neutral, so you want a coloured neutral, then just use that as your neutral. But if you are mixing other colours, they can still be, if I mixed, say, you know, I could have then just a high value contrast with my navy neutral and a light yellow, or, you know, my navy with, say, a light violet. That will create that value contrast as well. So you can use your coloured neutrals to create that neutral as well. So it's not to create that value contrast. So it's, you don't have to just stick with the achromatic neutrals. But it's really easy when you use your neutrals, whatever they are, whether they're coloured neutrals or if they are the achromatic neutrals, to create that value contrast. So hopefully that helps, because I know it can be a little bit confusing. So it's not that you can't wear different values of colours together, but I just find that you create more harmony in your outfit when the colours have similar intensity, similar value, and of course the same undertone. When we've got different intensities and different undertones and different values, it starts to look higgledy-piggledy and it's hard to do. Now, there are ways of doing this, but it's really much more technical. So particularly if you're just a beginner with colour, then I would suggest to use that as a guideline so that you don't go wrong. Let's look for our next question. The This one comes from Catherine. She says, I'm petite, but I'm not sure what colour shoes to choose. Do I top and tail with visual grouping and wear my shoe in a colour similar to my hair? Or do I blend it with my legs with skirts and dresses? I've got dark brown hair. And then she also says, what about with 7/8 length leggings? So when you have dark brown hair, so we've got dark hair, you will often look better with dark shoes. It creates this bookending appearance. It's topping and tailing, a bookend, visual grouping. It works really well. You can look a little bit ungrounded if you have like light or nude shoes. But this is where you've got to, when you're petite, when we have any body challenge that we might go, I want to look taller, I want to do this, I want to do that, you've then got to take that into consideration as well. And you've got to decide what matters more to you. Does it matter looking taller, or does bookending matter more to you? So sometimes it's like, you know, what my mother always used to say, what you lose on the swings, you gain on the roundabout. So it is that sort of thing that there's no necessarily one right way, but things to think about. So if you like to bookend, I would then go, if your dress is a column of colour in itself, so it's a one colour dress, no problem bookending your hair because you've already created that column of colour through the clothes. But if you've got a skirt and a top and they're different colours and different values so that you then cut your body up already once, then I would probably think more about the nude shoe rather than the really dark shoe that bookends your hair, because you are then starting to create more cuts up and down your body. So any column of colour, you can wear a different coloured shoe. Really doesn't matter so much because you've already created an elongating line. Sure, you'll never look 6 foot tall, but you'll never be 6 foot tall, but you certainly won't look as petite. If you are using a column of colour. So you can blend, and then of course, and this is where, when we've got long things, like the 7/8 length legging, which is the kind of almost to the ankle, but not quite, I always go, just blend it more to your shoes, or to the colour of your leggings. You don't really need to do the nude, or you could do the dark, depends on the colour of the legging. Most people's leggings are darker. Generally, we don't wear too many light leggings because they often show more things through. So I would just be wearing something similar because a 7/8 is an almost full length. It's not like, I mean, you know, because so there's not that much difference. We're not chopping the body up with big horizontal gaps so much. So I probably would just wear, and look, if it's a legging that you're wearing with sneakers, I'd just be wearing, you know, kind of as an activity wear legging. I wouldn't really worry about it at all. Practicality is actually what is most important at that time. But if it is something like more of a dress legging, and it also can depend on the weight of the shoe as well. So a really heavy shoe in a dark colour looks bigger, heavier and chunkier than a more finer or strappier. So maybe wearing a pair of sandals or a thong or something. Thong is Australian for flip-flops, just so you know. So if you're in some other countries, I'm not talking about wearing underwear on your feet, you know, it's not as heavy, so it's not going to be drawing the same attention as a big, heavy, chunky shoe will. So I think it really sometimes depends on the colour of the shoe, depends on what else you're wearing. But bookending is always nice, but you don't have to. So really it's up to you. It's like, do I want more leg elongation, or do I want that kind of top and tail, that bookend that makes you feel more grounded? So hopefully that's something that helps you there, Catherine. Thank you for my sweater and scarf compliment. So hopefully that's something when you can think about it. So really sometimes the thing, I always think the best thing is try different things on different days, take photographs them and compare. So if you have the same outfit, and this is one of the things I'll often do when I'm trying to choose a shoe, what to wear. I'll get the two different shoes I'm thinking of, and sometimes there might be even more, and I'll put one on each foot and I'll compare kind of that side. I'll almost like get myself half in the mirror. Do I prefer that side or do I prefer that side? Which shoe is working? So if I'm going to do more than just the two shoes, I will then go, okay, well, that's the best out of those two. And then I'll try the next shoe and I'll have one and the other, compare the two shoes and go, which one do I prefer? And that'll often get you your answer. So this is often where, you know, taking some photos is a great way of helping you to assess what is actually working for you, because of course you are a unique individual and your preferences are also something that, you know, we always have to take into consideration, our own personal preferences as well as maybe what aesthetically looks the best, because there's so many different aspects that come into clothes. There is the practical aspect, which is just important, as important. There's the emotional aspect, there's the physiological aspect, there's, you know, the mental aspect. All these things come into it. So no one right answer, but hopefully that's helped give you a little bit of a guide. Our last question for today comes from Anne. If you have warm skin and eyes, but your hair is going grey, does this automatically make you cool? No, absolutely not. Really depends if your skin stays warm or if your skin has cooled down. So some people's skin stays very, very warm. My mum's in her 80s. She's still got very warm hair. Warm skin. And so she has not cooled down. But there are other people whose skin really does cool down. It was never that warm to start with, so it really does cool down. So that is one of those things. It really kind of depends on you. There is no one automatic answer. But if you have gone grey, this is a great time to get a reassessment on your colouring, because maybe you've become more muted, because of course grey is a muted colour, and so therefore you tend to become more muted when you go really grey. And if you're not brightening your hair up to a brighter, more solid colour, so that can change your intensity of the colour swatch. Also too, is if you've been dyeing your hair darker and you go grey and it's lighter, then that's going to change the value of what colour palette suits you as well. And of course it may also change your value contrast, colour contrast, other things like that. Now, you will generally find though that if you have had, say, you know, more the camel-y, you know, warm browns, camel-y, coppery kind of colours in your hair, and then you go grey, but your skin stays warm, you may find that those really warm camel-y sorts of tones aren't as good for you as they once were. If you don't have the brown eyes, if you don't have an eye that matches them. So if you've got blue eyes and you're warm, you might find that actually once you go grey, even though you might have a warm skin still, that you'll probably find that some of the warmer greys are actually much better for you than the real tan sort of colours, because you've lost that high level of warmth that you once had. So that is something to think about there. So this is why there's no one answer that suits everybody, because you are a unique individual. And this is why, as much as a color palette, it's a tool, but it's not a definitive, these are the only colors you can wear, because this is only like 50 colors, and there's, you know, probably 50,000 colors you could wear. This is just a guide to help you find the colors. And even within that, how often do you see me wearing yellow? Just because it's in my palette doesn't mean I have to wear it. You know, actually there's a little bit of yellow in this scarf, but that's the amount of yellow I would wear. I'm certainly not wearing lots of yellow, because it's just not a colour that I associate myself with. And there's some colours I wear more of and some that I wear less of. So when you go grey, it will affect your value, possibly. It will also affect your intensity, possibly. And it may affect, so even if you stay warm, so some people do go cool, and I have seen people move from warm to cool, and other people remain warm, and some remain warmer than others. So some remain with a very warm skin tone, and others' skin tone cools down a bit, but it still remains warm. But then depending on eye colour and other aspects of your colouring, you may find that it will still change. And so some of the colours have been fantastic colours, just don't work as well. I mean, one of the things I noticed is when I went blonde, is that browns, so all the browns I had in my wardrobe, so the cool browns I had, you know, they just don't do anything for me in the same way as they used to do something, because there's nothing left that is brown about me. But I found that greys never used to be great on me. So even though I had cool colouring and I could wear greys, greys were never that good. But now they've become a real staple in my wardrobe, because that grey is much more related to my lighter value hair, and I've got a grey-blue eye. And so without that dominant dark brown that I used to have as my hair colour, that the grey now works in much more harmony. So there you go. So there's some colour questions. So if you are really interested in discovering your colours, you can find that out as part of my 7 Steps to Style program with your colour analysis there. And of course, all your colour contrast and value contrast questions as well, I do answer those. And of course, there's lots of blog posts on the blog is view free as well, insideoutstyleblog.com. Head over there, There's lots of things, links to check out about any of these sorts of questions. And I certainly do have posts on, you know, warm skin, grey hair and stuff like that as well. And of course, even what are your best neutrals based on your hair colour? Got lots of posts on that. So they can also make for some interesting reading to think about where you are going. But of course, you are a whole individual. And this is why there's lots of really general guidelines. And then it's working out what actually works for you specifically. Because you are the master of your own style. So please do email me your questions, Imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com, or leave them here on the Facebook page. And let me know what you would like me to talk about in upcoming videos. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.